Time to check back in with State Representative Techie Chan of Quincy for our weekly podcast. We like to call it Techie Talk. How are you, Techie?
Hey, it's a tacky Thursday today on April 9th. So great to see you, Joe, as always, on a cold morning but warming up. This is April weather is still causing a bit of joint pain for I think for some of us.
It's the long range forecast looks warmer, thankfully. I've seen some daffodils, crocuses, signs of spring, forsythia are blooming, and allergies too.
Agreed. And I actually do have to get some yard work done in between the day job and some other things at home. And as people heard me from several weeks ago, I had a tree limb come down, which is sliced up. I still have to finish cleaning it out, moving the tree logs to the other yard. And my brother will come up with an axe splitter and we'll deal with that then. But I need to start moving stuff off my yards. And of course, I had a mouse issue already in the house. People are pretty familiar with this themselves. Because I got too cold and rodents will come in your home, particularly when it's really cold. And this weather screwed up nature. And of course, ants. I live by a marsh. Ants are a problem. So I gotta get the ant killer out. And I
See,
did buy
these are
some.
insights into a legislator's life that you can't get anywhere else.
It's no different from you guys. It really isn't. I mean, it's like everybody else. The challenge, of course, for all of us is time, right?
Yeah,
So
because no
it's
yard work today. There you are in the state house in your suit and tie.
Yeah, and those are where, as we get into the warmer weather, there's more weekend events, whether it be weekend events in Quincy or outside of Quincy for things that are relevant to my community chairmanship or Asian caucus stuff. Or sometimes you need to help out someone else's on a campaign, which I hope I don't want to knock doors. I want to stay in other places. I don't know where I am. But I mean, I've done that too. I've helped other candidates out who asked and want to come and knock on doors in your district. So, we're heading that part of the year. Where basically April, May, June, right into early July, as you've heard me lament on every so often, the high-paced schedule of state house, but also local events. And then, we just have to ride this out. And after, 16 years of, because 2010 campaign, was hitting on these events too. I've seen things change. Some things are good, and some things, not. Some impact by COVID. Different ways of operation, new people running programs, new people running local events. Some events have appeared, some events have gone away. It's just the nature of life in Quincy, and there's nothing wrong about it at all. I just have to do my best to try to work within all these different priorities, with my time constraints.
Actually, the state primary this year is on September 1st, so it's very early.
It is extremely early having September 1st. For those who aren't aware, the state primary is actually tied to Election Day. It's not completely arbitrary. We have to set a daytime within 2 months. I think there's a 2 week window around that 2 months
That sounds right, yeah.
to have a state primary. I'm trying to remember exactly the number, but people think it's kind of an arbitrary issue. It's not. We have a pick a day. It doesn't have to be a Tuesday. It has to be a day that is within a certain amount of time from the election day in November. We've actually done a Thursday. So people may remember we ran afoul of Rosh Hashanah, if I pronounced that correctly, the Jewish New Year. And we had to move from a Tuesday to a Thursday 1 year to try to stay within the deadline. So, some days are before Labor Day, some days are after Labor Day, some days a week after Labor Day. I've not We've never done one in August, as far as I'm aware of.
Right.
But September 1st is just absolutely clearly the soonest time you can do it. And I remind folks that mail-in ballots will most likely be available online sometime starting in July, as well as early voting in the city of Quincy. And since the municipalities run the local elections, unlike a certain president who wants to run everything, he does understand that counties and municipalities run elections. The state helps set the laws for those things, but it's the municipal counties that actually run them. You should check with the city clerk's office as you move into the month of July, because the city council votes on the polling locations.
Yes, they've already done that actually. Their last meeting approved the polling locations and the early voting hours.
All right, so I'm behind on my information yet again. But
That's
thank
what I'm
you.
here for, Jackie.
Thank you, Joe, for updating me as well as everybody else. So, to give we can talk about elections very briefly. As we just discussed, The state does not decide where you go vote. It is municipalities. In other states, it is the county who runs the elections, and they decide where you get to vote in those counties. Same thing with mail-in ballot boxes. That is decided by the city of where they put those things up. The law in Massachusetts allows for mail-in ballots, early voting, drop your ballots off, but it's up to cities and towns to decide how to do it. And again, in states or counties, county government does. And we could engage in all kinds of arguments, which we won't do today, about how other states do it and whether we perceive that as fair or not compared to what we do. And actually, today, in about 45 minutes, the city and town clerks are lobbying the State House today. And to be dropping by the office with their ideas of, whether you like to see change in voting. And you may be aware that one of the 12 ballot questions this year includes one to establish same-day registration voting.
Yes.
So that's out there as well. And
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Jackie?
it's really down to whether or not technology will allow us to do this in quick verification. So if you do have same-day voting, the verification method is still done through your Social Security number, your last four digits, with your name and address to Washington, D.C., and then they will confirm that. There is a little bit of a myth here that D.C. doesn't have all your voter data. It doesn't exactly, because they have the verification system. Joe Shea explained this to me like decades ago, and this has not really changed. So you have the Secretary's office in D.C. on the verification process of identity. And then, if they clear it, then you can vote. Would it be
That's for a
ever?
federal election or
That's for any election.
any election. Okay.
Yeah, that's to verify your voter
Oh,
registration
gotcha. Okay.
ballot. So it's done through the last four digits. If you're old enough, you remember you put your entire Social Security number onto these forms, obviously because of fear of identity theft. Actually, I do have old forms at home that I found that actually ask for your whole Social Security number, not just the last
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I
four.
don't remember it. I registered when I was 18. That was decades ago.
Trust me, you put your whole social on there. So it got sent out for identity confirmation to the DC registry.
I see.
So, I mean, the Secretary of State has a central register database. So when you register to vote, you're in the central registry, which the Secretary operates. But there is a system which with the, city and town clerks with the Secretariat to confirm your identity through Washington, D.C. So there's a lot of myths going on about that stuff. And, obviously, you can ask Nikki, the clerk, about more details about that verification process. And the thing, of course, mail-in ballot same-day registration is that is verification. So, to me, what it translates to is provisional ballots
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha. Till they can verify it.
that they can verify. So, have to be segregated out in a manner which confirms verification. If it's not verified, the ballot's invalid.
Sure. And then they can get a hold of you if there's a problem.
Yeah, and given the fact that they need some time frame because we already have up to 10 days after the election for receipt.
That's right. Yeah,
The
people forget
ballots.
about that. When we get the results election night, it's unofficial for a reason.
Yeah, because of the absentee ballots, which are people that are in medical care, people who are out of state for military service, and I can't think the third reason that's in the Constitution. So these aren't mail-in ballots, they're absentee ballots that are subject to post 10-day rule. So if you
Right.
postmark by election day, you have 10 days, post office has to get 10 days to get that ballot to
Right.
you. This is mail-in ballots aren't a new concept. It's just that people don't realize that, it's been ongoing for the days since the Civil War, as I talked about last time.
Right, yeah. It just became more widespread during COVID, I think. People hadn't heard about it.
Yeah, and people like it.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry, folks, but some people I know, I get emails, think it's like a horrible thing, but the data shows that people participate in it. People do use it, and they use it at a higher rate than absentee ballots.
Yep. It's just very convenient, yeah.
So, the clerks are coming in to talk about some perhaps modifications to the current system. He provides some feedback, and they're trying to anticipate this ballot question on same-day registration and how it actually affects the functionalities. I mean, we live in a city, which is better resourced, but if you live in a small town, you're less resourced.
Right. Yep. That's true. You have less personnel, so the clerk may be doing multiple jobs.
Yes, and some of those clerks are also elected.
That's true
And
too. Yeah.
you have part-time city hall, I'm sorry, part-time town halls. So for those who are listening who live in small communities, you may have a town hall that's open 4 days a week. I mean,
Yep.
I'm a very small town.
Oh
Maybe
yeah,
open four
but
days
they
a week.
exist.
Yeah, an open part-time, which includes like an elected clerk and a part-time staff.
Right. Okay, we'll wait and see what. Speaking, seeing we're talking about technology, let's talk about this proposed social media ban for anybody 14 and younger.
Yeah, so we passed as part of the cell phone ban in schools, requiring social media companies to do identity verification for 14 year and below. We also provide some access for parents to access their children's data with certain limitations and protections regarding protected classes. It's a bit of a tricky wicket to try to thread a needle on, balancing out people's privacy concerns, but also ensuring that people are able to use the internet safely. And I always perceive that we look at social media instinctively as negative. Now it's automatic instinct. That actually is a wrong way to make public policy. You should really look at it as negative, but also look at the positives as well, and trying to find a balancing act between the two to get to the objective of trying to help young folks from being subject to potentially addictive and destructive behavior. And many states, including ours, well, the Senate hasn't done it yet, so this is still a pending proposal, has decided that because of science, brain development, age 14 seems to be the appropriate cutoff point to require age verification, and parental consent to use social media.
I guess I'm not clear as to how it would have, logistically how it would work. If I'm 14 years old, how do the social media companies know that I'm 14 years old and to block me?
Well, you're absolutely correct. This is an implementation question. And given the fact I'm a chair of a committee that does a lot of consumer issues, I would tell you that certain websites, such as alcohol websites, don't do proper age verification. Just put in that, you put your birth date in, you put only random date. If you, like me, who plays video games, you have a Steam platform, certain adult content is there, whether it be sexual or violence or gore. Is available in video games, which you actually have to put an age verification, but it isn't like they're looking for your light, your driver's license number. Obviously, there are tax forms, for example, that uses your driver's licenses. So I use TurboTax as part of submitting my form online. I have to provide my identification via my driver's license, right? Not just age verification, but verification of identity regarding filing my taxes. Some places like Great Britain has already implemented porn-based age verification, and the EU kind of follows through some variation of that. However, age verification means creating brand new technology. And those who are not aware of this, there are actually already websites and other apps out there who's trying to move into a niche market regarding age verification. They mean you have to hire a third party to do it on your behalf. The question becomes there, data privacy and protection of your information with this third party. And while many of us have accepted the fact that a slew of information is out on the internet, right? It's a lot out there. Not all data is created equal, meaning not everybody's data is equally valued, by an entity needing information. However, a third-party verification software site would need data protections over that third-party software. That take all your information, what they believe is needed for age verification, for you to access that website. So, for example, Facebook could hire Joe age verification software website to be the portal for you to verify that inform Facebook that it's okay to allow Tacky Chan to use their website. And this is a lot more complicated than I think people give it credit for. So, it's not a, because we perceive age verification. Let's be frank about it. We perceive verification as you go to the liquor store and you show your ID.
Right.
People think it is that simple. It truly is not in the age of technology. And unlike showing your ID at a liquor store, there is this other layer of data protection, which we all are talking about. And we do have a bill pending in the House that the Senate sent over regarding larger data protection issues. And more than half the states have some variation of data protection laws other than us. So, not surprising, some of these states that move forward on age verification actually do have data protection laws on the books prior to discussion age verification social media.
Right, but isn't it still just the honor system? I mean, it can just make up a birth date, right?
Good question. The answer is I don't have an answer because more likely than not, they're going to have to find some system to not to have that kind of honor system. They're probably going to have a system that creates some accountability and reduced their liability. This ain't a free speech issue. So, because we know that social media companies under the Telecom Act, I think Section 2209, I think.
Ooh, I'm impressed,
Well, I'm
Techie.
probably wrong. I just like to throw random numbers sometimes on calls.
Okay.
But I mean, so two, whatever. It doesn't matter. The
No, it
fact
doesn't.
matters they have a shield behind that, which two lawsuits, I believe California and I don't remember the other state, has penetrated this shield to grant damages to plaintiffs in a class action suit against Meta, and I think California's Meta and Google, which is going to be appealed because the courts, lower courts in those states, have said that the harm is so great that. That's rising levels of essentially negligence, which then defeats the point of this First Amendment shield they created in the Federal Telecom Act.
Right.
So, these companies are going to try to reduce their opportunity lawsuit because
Yep.
age verification is not a First Amendment component for the purposes of being a platform.
Oh, I see. Okay, interesting. And then, I wonder too, how do they know that this person is in Massachusetts? And what if they start on a social media platform outside of Massachusetts where it's legal and then travel into Massachusetts and stay on that platform? It's also so many questions.
You're absolutely correct. And this comes to the geolocation issues regarding phone and computer devices and the internet and virtual protocol networks that allows you to mask by using a server connection elsewhere.
Yeah.
Actually, Netflix almost encourages this. If you use Netflix on your laptop, you have a VPN that you pay for, and you gotta watch something in England, and England has a whole different library than the US. You can see shows. I actually did watch Rick and Morty via Australia through VPN before they actually released in US through a license on Netflix. So I mean, that technology is real and out there. And iLottery is going to be interesting, is there? Because the argument from iLottery contract says it's the state lottery system is not going to be the operator of the iLottery system. It's going to be a third-party system that operates website and app. Claims they have sufficient security to block VPNs and other methods. And they claim that if you're sitting in a border of another state, the geolocator is able to identify where you are.
Well, okay. All
That
right.
being
There you.
said, people are pretty sophisticated.
Yes.
And I was discussing some folks in the chamber yesterday about ways you can get around things which I will not talk about with you today.
Well, we
Hoping
don't want to tip people off, right?
that is 100% correct. I'm fully aware of other ways that you can circumvent a number of things on your phone and your computer
Yeah.
devices, but especially your cell phone. And
Yeah.
we'll
I mean, I
discuss
get the overall gist of trying to limit, danger to young people.
that's correct. But on the flip side, social media does create some benefits. For example, it prevents social isolation. It allows you to find people with similar hobbies that are perfectly harmless. It communicates with folks that you may not have anybody in your immediate social circle, shares a hobby or interest. And things like social media and before social today's social media had messaging boards. Those are old enough to remember those things on the internet. And before that, you had CB radios, and before that, you had pen pals.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So did you vote in favor of the bill?
Yes, I voted in favor of bills. I think a couple of people are absent. I think it's 155 to 2.
Okay,
Was
so
it
overall
3?
majority.
Yeah, it was overall majority. I think 155 to 3, maybe. But and I know there are a few members who are absent yesterday. So we'll see what the Senate does. The Senate actually does have a cell phone ban bill, which is what we're working on that just got sent back. But the Senate does not have a social media age verification a component to their bill. So I'm not sure
Right.
how the Senate is going to respond to it exactly. The bill is going to go to conference committee,
Yep.
obviously between the House and Senate, but given the fact that senators never actually voted on the age verification issue, not sure how the Senate's going to respond to it.
Right. I know the House bill requires implementation by October 1st. That seems very, very, let's just say it's optimistic. Very, very quick.
Yeah, and the hope is that because of the states that move forward in the social media age verification process, that they're already equipped or ready to go. That I
Right.
cannot confirm nor deny.
No, I understand that. Great. I've reached out to some of them and I got nothing back, but not surprising.
So I think you guys have listened to me long enough to know that I do pay some attention to these consumer issues and observing how Australia, the EU, the British, obviously other states respond to consumer protection issues as well as data privacy issues. And it's not one size fit all. They're all very different. And some of the advantages of not going first is to see how it works out with someone else before you try using.
Right. And I'm sure the governor would support it. She proposed an even higher age, I think 18.
Yeah, I know. I think this was not a coordinated conversation. Let's leave it at that.
And you mentioned the cell phone ban in public schools as well, right? So that's part of this.
Yeah, there's a bit of a patchwork from school district to school district, allowing, not allowing, and how to implement it. So, Superintendents Association announced last year they were interested in doing something like this. Attorney General Campbell also wants to do something like this. The Senate sent something over. We're going to send something back. But the reality is that it's designed to create some regulatory guidelines through Department of Edu Secondary Education regarding cell phone bans. It allows a pilot program for 10 communities regarding using new technology to try to do geolocation auto turn off. Not sure how I feel about that, but there are supposedly apps out there that if you're a certain distance from XYZ place, it can deactivate your phone or at least lock your phone out, which I have a lot of question marks about this technology, which I think many people are now giving a little thought of what I just said, probably have the same questions I have. But I mean, we allow some pilot programs in there for people to try out new tech. Honestly, my personal opinion has always been the same. School committees and superintendents together can do cell phone bans without us and set that process up. And unlike
Yeah,
the,
Quincy's already started the process.
yeah, but unlike things like age verification for cigarettes, it's contained within school districts. So a patchwork program is irrelevant to us because you're not doing commercial business across municipal lines in schools.
Right, no, it's all in the same community, right?
Yeah, that's why I find this somewhat peculiar in some ways, where Superintendent Association wants to do it, with the school committees and different communities, as well as their superintendents and principals, able to put a plan together. We're creating a uniform system at state law, which municipalities already have the power to do about us.
Yep, that's right. And some have already.
Yeah, that's why I find this a little bit perplexing.
And this is just public schools too. Private schools, they have their own policies, I'm sure.
Yeah, private schools can do what they want, but I think private schools are a little bit ahead of public schools regarding this.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I'm sure they are actually.
Yeah, the lack of a school committee makes it
That's
easier.
right. It's just straight administration, no voting. This is how it's done.
Yeah, sums it up. Yeah. So we'll see how, again, since the social media verification process is actually part of the cell phone, we'll see how the Senate responds in terms of, how the conference committee is formed. And the Senate did not have a chance to vote on this issue.
It's all new to them, so I think October 1st is very aggressive.
I think so as well, but we'll see how it plays out. The session ends July 31st. We'll have a little caveat on the rules regarding conference committee reports. Obviously, the membership would not like to have conference reports voted on after July 31st. I don't think the members like that idea as a general rule. We'd like to believe we can get our work done on time as a committee chair. I've been hitting my 60-day mark now on the post joint return deadline. Not to bore you again of all the nuances of the functions of this place, but the deadline system is very accelerated than in the past. And as a chair, I feel that if that's what they want me to do, that's what we're going to do. And some people may not like the answer of the chair, but the committee members need to get their votes in. On recommendations from me within the specific time frame of bills that have been heard. So, I feel like I'm doing my part. I'm leaving it at that.
That's the job. I mean, a lot of folks don't like aspects of their job, but that's the job. That's what they're paying you for.
And I want to make sure the committee members, are fully informed of what they're voting on. And obviously, they got questions they can ask me about, and we can discuss the matter. But again, this is how I do things. I can't speak for other people.
Let's talk about this proposed plastic bag ban, too.
Yeah, the Senate Environmental Bond Bill, it's not in the House, by the way. It's on the way to the House. The Senate
Okay.
yesterday had a session to put a complete ban on plastic bags statewide and also put 10 cents on paper bags,
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
which, oh my, it's just, okay, whatever. So we're not going to get into my thoughts on 10 cents on paper, which is biodegradable. But, okay,
Easy.
so.
Don't pass out on me, Techie.
Yeah, there's some caveats apparently associated with it, and those who know this issue somewhat don't fully realize, well, probably do realize, you probably do know this if you work on this issue as an advocate. You know, the lower end of the socioeconomic scale generally has most difficult time with plastic bag bans because it involves them making an additional purchase for reusable, and believe it or not. I use plastic bags and recycle them into trash bags.
I think a lot of people do.
It's much better than using paper. And if you don't, you have to go to the store to buy garbage bags for small containers,
Which are
so
plastic,
which
yes.
are made of plastic. And I'm sure some of the advocates that are plastic bag bans may never have used a plastic bag for garbage, and may have. May or may not use store-bought garbage bags on a smaller level. I have no idea. I mean, everybody does what they want. So we've saved a lot of money for many years in my household just using plastic bags from stores as storage. And I use it for like dirty clothes when I travel. It's great for keeping things dry when you're outside. So I get the issue. On plastic bag ban because it's bad for an environment. They're not biodegradable. Microplastics is a problem, and so forth and so forth. There are biodegradable plastic
There are.
products out there. However, they're very expensive relative to both paper and plastic,
Yes.
which creates again a socioeconomic problem because that end of the food chain in terms of socioeconomics can't afford it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know where it stands right now. It's just proposed, I think, right now.
Yeah, I don't know how it's going to be. I know there's a number of caveats of exemptions for this under 10 cents, but I actually do not know the answer to that because I've not looked that deeply into it. I'm being honest with you guys. Yesterday, we were working on our issues in the House in debate, Senate did their debate. I'm sure once Ways and Means gets the environmental bond bill, most likely today in a formal session on the transfer of papers, there'll be more conversation in the House about this.
Yeah. Okay.
So ask Senator Keenan.
I will.
Or if you want, I can do some homework, a little bit of homework, trying to track this down and give you a little bit.
Oh, yeah, well, let's do both. Sure, why not?
Yeah, I can do a little bit of homework and read into it. Like I said, we got an old thing going on yesterday and I wasn't paying attention to Senate debate.
Okay. What were you paying attention to? What's
We
going
had a debate on the cell phone bill with the social media thing. That was our debate yesterday.
on? What, no budget discussions?
That'll be next week. The
Oh,
15th
okay.
is going to be releasing the budget. I talked multiple times about a Chapter 90 local aid for cities and towns. It looks like they're teeing that up for the 15th as well. I actually have a public hearing on the 15th regarding the penny issue. We've talked about pennies before. I have a bill regarding some conformity of how to use change, similar to Canada and other states proposing actually the exact same bill. And we're going to be hearing from a number of folks, including retailers, convenience stores, whether it be in letter format or in person testimony. I'm sure you guys will stream that at some point down the road. It could be a fun hearing for the audience to watch on your streaming or watching it on the cable.
Yes, we definitely will. We do that often for sure. So that means you and I should catch up next Thursday to talk about that.
Yeah, that would work out better because we'll have a session on Wednesday, plus I have a public hearing and. Like I said, you guys can stream those yourself, but also it gives me a chance to kind of regroup on the
Yeah.
conference next week as things
Okay.
get kind of busier and busier. And given the accelerated schedule on bill releases by committees, this is really going to be a very tough 3.5 months on information because it's just going to move so much faster now.
Great. I know we like to touch on international issues here, and we haven't talked at all about this ceasefire that's it's supposedly in place right now.
You mean Taco Tuesday?
You said it, not me.
Yeah, well, might as well, because I'm obviously have equal frustration. I'm also suffering from the same emotional fatigue from all this negative news generated by one individual, and lack of clarity of what's going on. I like to stay in my lane because I'm a state official. I have really no say what's going on in the federal government, and I have no say about impeaching presidents. So please do not email me to impeach a president, because I
Oh,
do
are
get.
people doing that, Jackie?
Oh, people email me, ask me to impeach the president. I'm like, you are talking to the wrong end of the food chain. Again, my whole thing about civics classes and social studies, that people not pay attention in civics classes and social studies and history classes of who you're supposed to call. So, yeah, I mean, I have information fatigue too, like everyone else. And you guys know I watch international news, which we've already talked about the impact on Gulf states and other places regarding the current conflict and the negative impacts on those civilian populations were killed. The Gulf state did have people kill the civilians, as well as impact of other economies, which will probably be set back 3 years because of U.S. action in the Gulf. So other people are suffering, also high prices, with much lower incomes than we do,
Yeah.
as well as sadly people, been killed by the Iranis because, we did strike first. They responded as well, and Israel's continuing to bomb Hezbollah, which is basically bombing Beirut at this point. I think they killed like 200 people ish in Beirut. And the Lebanese government, if you're not aware, is kind of a weird hostage government against Hezbollah. It's this weird real problem in Lebanon where Hezbollah runs the government as a terrorist group with a political arm, and the rest of Lebanon's kind of sort of in conflict with them and kind of sort of held hostage at the same time. Lebanon is very complicated politically.
Yeah, it's like two different governments operating at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, and one is actually, a political party is basically it's not parent, it is a military
Oh, yes.
and a terrorist group. It's
Yes. Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah.
Lebanon's a very difficult conversation to have because it's
Yeah.
not clean and cut. And also, again, we're talking about governments and terrorist organizations. Civilian population did not elect them. Civilian population had no say who they are. Civilian population has no input, and also victims of terror. So the report ran over 30,000 people killed, but also Israeli strikes and U.S. strikes have, sometimes doesn't always hit the target correctly. And that happens. It's real life. It's war. It's awful. And unfortunately, civilian lives that did nothing because they didn't choose their government, they elect the government, did not participate in the government, they're terrorized by the government, sometimes would be collateral damage. And that is very, very unfortunate and sad. Now, as for Taco Tuesday, for those who don't know, Financial Times refers to Donald Trump as Taco. Trump always chickens out. That is what the anagram is for. There's been a repeating pattern in this. If you watch carefully regarding his policies, particularly at the macro level, whether it be tariffs or military conflicts. He has that Pakistan. I watched a short by The Economist talking about Pakistan's role in this and how Pakistan actually has a very good relationship with Iran and good relationship with China, despite some border disputes. And actually, in a war with Afghanistan, essentially at this point, because the Taliban hates the Pakistanis and vice versa. And Pakistan's always had a, I wouldn't say cozy, but I mean, I'd say lukewarm functional relationship to the United States. So Pakistan's the country that was the best intermediary where they can communicate with the Iran government structure, such as it is. It's a bit of a mess over there. And I think the Iranian Republic Guard, which is this mini army inside the big army that really runs the security forces. I think won the interim battle because they're really the ones that are really forward here trying to run this government. Pakistan and the relationship with the US and China was able to broker this 2 week so-called ceasefire that has already been broken because no one knows what's the ceasefire really about. However, bombastic messaging from the president essentially advocating for genocide has really freaked out the American public. There's pretty much polling and plenty of folks that just really freaked out. And even though it may be a bluff, the fact that the concept of wiping people off the planet, a civilian population, as I stated before, and the president has admitted is a victim of their own government to be wiped off the planet. He didn't discuss wiping out the rest of the regime. basically just kill all the regime. He basically talked about wiping out people that he himself said was innocent. And I think that's a part that really freaked everybody out. And as the deadline came closer and closer, and you probably have seen the press conference, the stress level on him was very apparent in that press conference on Sunday, I believe. Where was it? Monday. Monday?
Monday. Yeah.
Monday. Yeah, that because I listened to the press conference on streaming. I didn't get to watch it. But the sound of his voice, stress levels were extraordinarily high because you have a regime fighting for survival, Iran. And then you have the US government trying to eliminate said regime, which hasn't happened yet, as well as deal with massive macroeconomic problems they've created and amassing a lot of your tax dollars and creating some issues regarding domestic security on a military level by expending our assets. So you have a lot going on. So as of today, my understanding, the Strait of Hormuz is kind of not happening at the moment.
That's what I just read also, yeah.
Which creates a lot of questions going forward, and Israelis do not consider the truce to include Lebanon and Hezbollah,
Right.
and Iranians have struck Bahrain again.
Right.
I do not understand the Bahrain situation. I need to do some homework on that one. I do not know why Bahrain keeps getting smacked. I mean, all the Gulf states got smacked by Iran, but it seems like a repeating thing about Bahrain. They just keep hitting it over and over again. And again, they're also hitting civilian targets. And because we live in America with two big oceans, we're shielded from this conversation. And the media is not talking a lot about innocent lives being killed in the Gulf states by Iran in retaliation for what we do. And they're not talking about the impact of an $8 trillion Southeast Asian economy and how India cannot get fuel to cook, having people using alternative methods to do cooking. And how 90% of oil goes to Japan and 95% go to Korea. And as much as President likes to talk about them buying American fuel, I remind folks, everybody's refineries are different. Every oil is different. If your oil does not match that refinery, it is useless. And U.S. producers already contract out that oil. It isn't like they're sitting on extra oil. You have a buyer before you pump it out.
Right. It's a commodity, right? Yeah.
Yeah, you do not sit on it. It's the same thing with corn and soybeans. Those things already have buyers before you even start the conversation, which is why the trade war with China was really crazy on things like soybeans because they grew them, tariffs hit, they didn't want to buy them, they had a contract for them to buy them. But because the government intervened, farmers were out of luck regarding those soybeans. You do not grow stuff just to sit on it, and you do not
Right.
put stuff on the ground just to sit on it.
No, it doesn't do you any good. Yeah.
That's correct. So, I mean, I think people may have believed the president's statements, trying to simplify a very complicated issue. And same thing in the Gulf states. All that oil is in storage, hopefully never getting bombed. But for them to reactivate the pumps could take weeks because they need to get those oil out of their tanks, giant storage tanks, into the market on giant ships. Which takes time and then refill said tanks later. But the idea is not to keep the tanks full. The idea is to keep the oil moving.
Right.
Same with natural gas and 70% oil, natural gas and helium and fertilizer and aluminum and a whole bunch of other stuff none of us knew comes out of the Gulf states.
Yeah. We're seeing the direct impact here just in terms of gasoline and diesel prices.
Yeah. And there's no regime change in Iran. There's no. I don't understand. You didn't change that. You kept, there's always a moving target in the conversation with the Trump administration, but they declared victory when they bomb the nuclear uranium locations, which I was okay with. I mean, you don't want them to have a dirty bomb or a nuclear weapon. But they don't even know where the uranium's gone, I think. I'm just very confused here, right? And we talked about before about, victory by polling, which isn't working because his poll ratings are the lowest. It's even lower to Biden. I mean, oh my, it's lower to Biden, which is saying a lot. If it's not regime change, and how are you going to get your hands uranium while putting boots on the ground? And it's out of oil, I think. It's a real question mark where we're going here. I mean, if the goal is to kill the Ayatollah, Khomeini, fine. But then you keep going, and it's like, where are we heading, right? And Again, they're making the same error George H. Bush did during Iraq. The belief was that if you knock off the head of the snake, the population's going to rise up and take the government. But they have no guns, and 30,000 people plus have been killed by the Iranian security forces. It's kind of hard to start a revolution if you got no weapons.
Yeah. That's why you're seeing that country so divided about this as well.
Yeah, because the more we kill local folks to destroy the infrastructure, and president starts making threats about genocide essentially over innocent people that he already admitted is innocent people. It's very confusing messaging. And also, again, at Easter he announced this, and as Christian countries, Easter is very important and special, and he actually used praise Allah as part of that, which also led to a lot of confusion. I mean, was he serious, not serious, facetious? What's the messaging here? And of course, big bold caps doesn't help because no one knows what that big caps mean anymore. When you write everything in caps, it's like, what does that mean, right? And also, like 21st century, right? We're doing public policy by social media. He's declaring public policy by social media and left up to the public to decide what it's trying to explain in 140 characters or less. So it was a
We
240
need Henry Kissinger back.
Well, there is something said about actually like truly understanding and knowing other people around you and truly understanding knowing people in other cultures. So I watched a BBC short. It was more than 10 minutes. BBC reporter for Latin America was given a short visa by the Venezuelan government to do a story. Media is prohibited from going to Venezuela still under this new regime. And life is pretty much unchanged for Maduro. There's no expectations of better economy, more money, or freedom of expression or free elections. There doesn't appear to be any kind of real change that Venezuelans in America would like to see.
So it didn't work there either.
Well, it's just different head. The snake just grew a different head, right? But the same body, and that's what you got. And at least the Maduro administration is more of a strange government structure of a single party dictatorship. Iran's a theocracy, also very different philosophy because of how they value their value of the population's literally their lives, and how they value their relationship with the rest of the world.
Yeah, so many unknowns and things that we have no control over. We should bring it back here to Massachusetts, talk about what we can control.
Yeah, I agree with that. Try to do our best to navigate an untrustworthy partner in the federal government. And I think gas in Quincy is ranging between like 387 to just under $4, depending on the station we're talking about. And over $4, most likely closer to Freshbrook Parkway, but in the Pine Street Inn, as I take your mom to the doctor on a very regular basis at Tufts Medical Center. I mean, the Pine Street Inn was $5.05 cash for unlimited.
Wow.
That's the cash price. And
Yeah, wow.
diesel was like 2.687 at the Pine Street Inn. That was last Wednesday. So obviously today's Thursday the 9th. It was actually the previous Wednesday. I looked at it last. So then that hurts your pocketbook, it hurts my pocketbook, and it translates to hurting businesses, which then translates to higher cost to you. And the CPI data came out today is like 2.8, and then these PCE looks like it's 3%, but those are February numbers with early March impacts. It won't be to you see the May numbers come out to see the full impact of both fuel prices.
And we'll see how it affects unemployment as well.
Unemployment last week wasn't too bad. The ADP numbers show there was some job growth. But if you look at the revised numbers and the new numbers that are not revised yet, a lot of it is really net zero. There's, again, it appears in the big picture, right? No hire, no fire. However, certain sectors have not had a growth they had before. Healthcare was really big at one time. Now it's not as big as it used to be. Right, tourism was a huge number last summer, but it's not as big as it used to be. And of course, varies state by state. I mean, I think everyone's aware now Boston construction's greatly reduced than it was 2 years ago. And those numbers will eventually make an appearance about construction jobs being down. Data will eventually trickle down to to the feds, which then breaks down by state, which then we'll get our numbers through our own actually state website, the economic development and housing, urban development website. Well, they don't call it housing, urban housing. And Econ Dev and others will have those data sets from the feds that will be available to you to look at. So, economy is actually fairly strong in the big numbers. But again, I remind folks, according to the Fed numbers, half the economy is driven by the top end of the economic scale, and even upper middle income, not just middle income, upper middle income is struggling, representing less than half, with the all the way down to the lower income of purchasing, which means the smaller part of the population is sustaining the consumer economy.
What's going on in the district these days, Jackie?
It's been pretty quiet, to be honest with you. I want to congratulate Dave DeBona and Dave DeBona Senior in the NEC for receiving the community award by the mayor. I'll be coming down at 4 p.m. today to Manatee Community Health Center to congratulate and celebrate their incredible work for the House NEC and the greater community in Quincy as part of CGDB Week, Community Development Block Grant Week. Tuesday, I did drop in at Quincy College for a little while regarding a grant program that Congressman Lynch announced with Steve Grossman. Haven't seen Steve Grossman in a long time regarding encouraging and providing support for small businesses, especially minority women-owned small businesses, but help small businesses out on his program as well. Tonight, we have the Democratic City Committee members reforming the committees, electing their local executive teams, including the statewide executive team. Obviously, the bottle drive is on. Speaking of plastic bags and bottles, I do put my recyclables in paper bags and bring them to the Boy Scouts in the morning. This Ellenbrook Field and House Neck
Oh,
Troop
what is
Six.
that for? I haven't heard about that.
A lot of it pays for their summer camps.
Oh,
So
okay.
every second Saturday of each month, with some exceptions, and pending weather, obviously. The Boy Scouts be collecting cans and bottles that are redeemable to help pay for their summer camp.
Oh,
And
at LeBrecq Field.
the breakfast from about 9 a.m. to about 9 a.m. to about noontime of River
Oh,
Report.
okay.
Generally, I tell folks try to get there like 10:30-ish.
Sure, sure. Okay, so that'll be this Saturday, the 11th.
I've hung out before there for some time, and there's a large stream of cars starting around 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Of course, after like July 4th or major holidays or events, there's a lot more bottles. So if you're up for it and want to support a local scouting organization based out of House Neck, but really services all the kids in Quincy, it's not
Yep.
in House Neck anymore. You can go to Ellenbrook Field and drop off some recyclables. All right, that's
Oh, good to know.
kind of my game plan for that. I have a bunch of meetings being set up this Friday. I have students from the Harvard Kennedy School of Government coming to visit me at the State House.
Nice.
I'm going to have a talk with them, especially about AAPI issues. And then Student Government Day is also this weekend. I'm sorry, this Friday at the State House. It'll be very busy. Students around the country, I mean, not country, students around the states, students around the state will be coming in. Being a representative of whatever district doesn't mean they actually have to live in said district, but
Ah,
they're going to
gotcha.
be an elected. And they go through a lot of the processes of, people become judiciary members, people become senators, and so forth.
Oh, very
So,
fun. Okay.
yeah, to do it once a year. So that's actually this Friday. And I have some appointments set up already with various representatives over the next several weeks for luncheons and get togethers. We do try to socialize. Try to sandwich in, as you can tell, of all the other work we do around here. And like I said, in about 5 or so minutes, the city town clerk's going to be visiting my office. Actually, I was at a virtual meeting of UMass Boston's Institute of Asian American Studies. So I got that meeting set up virtually as well. These are kind of the meetings I like to talk about with you guys, as well as events to give you an idea of how the day works. Plus, for example, this morning I met with Metro Housing. And the staff spent 30 minutes with me going through the agenda items and even little things like tacky.org, tacky.org website updates. And also looking at my emails and trying to figure out what people are trying to say to us sometimes, because it takes a group effort sometimes to decipher what someone's trying to tell us. And also doing docket review. All bills of committee are reviewed by me. All letters are reviewed by me. Every email is reviewed by me before it goes to the public. We actually have to sit down and do that work collectively
Sure.
ourselves. Whether it be me emailing back and forth, or sometimes my preference is to sit there and just do it with you together. And can discuss it that way. So, I got a lot going on. I mean, I think
Yeah, sounds like it.
people
We're
think it's
good.
like you only go to a session and your work is done, or you go to public hearings, work is done. I mean,
That's just the public part of it that you see.
it's not like you guys, I mean, obviously you know I'm in my office, but if you're watching on YouTube or on cable, but I mean, when I'm here, there's work you don't see, which involves paper. Sometimes, as well as online stuff that I got to work through.
Right.
And it is time consuming, it takes time and thoughtfulness. I just don't impulsively say yes, no. I'm like, okay, let's discuss. And I do practice a Socrates method in my office with the staff where, all right, what do you guys think? And we actually do try to set aside time, more than one time actually during the week, to engage in debate of what's a good idea, what's a bad idea. Try to get to a solution, or even just my scheduling. Like, we have two things in the same day or four things in the same time slot. We discuss among ourselves a little bit, who it is, what it is, what's involved. Can staff cover it? Do I need to cover it? Do I need to bring staff to cover it? It's a whole lot of different things we have to consider. And my staff has opened the door to tell me that my next meeting's on the way in.
I was just going to say we better wrap it up because the city and town clerks are knocking on your door.
Yeah, this is a live broadcast, folks. It is a recording, but it is live.
All right, how do we get a hold of you, Taggy?
We're on 42 at the State House. We're still in this office. I am fully staffed, and people can come in and if they want your concerns. As we close in on school vacation week, I always encourage people to come do tours of the State House. I do love sharing this building with the public, not because of politics, but because of history. It is a great historical building, as they like to keep saying over and over again. 617-722-2370. 617-722-2370. I do not control the suite. If the front desk is unable to pick up for whatever reason, it is automated. Please wait to go through the automated prompts. I don't like it either, but that's how it is in today's world. I did it with my doctor today and my mom's doctor today. So, this is how it works. Tacky.chan at amahouse.gov, tackey.chan at amahouse.gov is my email. As I talked about earlier, we do look at this stuff. The staff looks at this stuff. We do prioritize constituent services. Most importantly, those are the ones we take care of immediately in terms of responses. Tacky Chan, State Representative Tacky Chan at Facebook with a corresponding Instagram account. We're going to be a little more active as we get more events going on about my comings and goings and providing some good information. Tackyandchan.org. We just talked about that a little earlier about us trying to figure out how to update our website information. And then MLegislature.gov, MLegislature.gov. We've announced here are some hearings that's going to be happening and sessions. And obviously, this stuff is all recorded. So you think that I am off the cuff conversation here, Sometimes I really should contain myself, public hearings. And, like for example, last week I actually did debate and we discussed the PROTECT Act. So, I do actually show up on the floor every so often as needed. But I mean, as you guys know, I kind of just say things sometimes. But sometimes that's not smart. QATV of Joe, speaking of saying things that are not always smart for me to do. Obviously with QATV, unscripted, full access, who knows what's going to happen. And of course, both Joe and I would love to hear from you through Joe, obviously, it's his show at QATV at QATV.org, QATV at QATV.org. Joe will controls the microphone here. So if people have thoughts or wants to talk about something else, and Joe's very happy to hear from you.
Yes, definitely. As always, we're open for that for sure. Now, I don't want to get in hot water with your staff, so I'll have to say goodbye.
All right, Joe, I'll catch you in a week's time.